Abby Johnson worked with a Texas Planned Parenthood clinic for 8 years before she came face to face with the stark reality of what she was really doing, as she described on the last edition of Focus on the Family.
I knew standing there holding that ultrasound probe, and I had one hand on the ultrasound probe and the other hand on this woman's belly, and just feeling that there was once life there and now there wasn't, and knowing that my hand had been a part of that, and just feeling this grief for this woman that I had taken part in her lost motherhood, and just thinking, what am I doing? How have I done this for so long? You know, how have I not seen the reality of this?
I'm John Fuller, along with Focus on the Family president, Jim Daly, and it's possible you didn't hear the first part of this riveting story. If that's the case, let me suggest that you get it online at focusonthefamily.com.
And John, I'm very excited for the listeners to hear Abby's story. It's an amazing story of redemption. Here you have God reaching down into her heart. She's there at Planned Parenthood as a director. And God opened her mind and opened her heart to what was happening there. And also joining us is Sean Carney, who is the National Campaign Director, who helps coordinate the 40 Days for Life prayer events around the country. And Sean is just such a wonderful, inspiring young man.
He really is. And this story is redemptive. It's about the power of prayer, as you've alluded to. And Sean, let's have you set the stage now for our story. God reached in and did intervene in Abby's life, and I'm wondering, where were you and these prayer warriors, if you will, in this story?
We were, at the time, full throttle out on the sidewalks. We were in the middle of a 40 Days for Life campaign, mm-hmm. just this in the fall of 2009, and we were on day, I guess, 5 or 6 when this happened to Abby, and it was a few days later when she physically walked into our offices, which is conveniently located right next door.
Real close, yes.
To the Planned Parenthood clinic. And so when she came over, she was in tears. And I'll never forget, walking into my office, and I had had a meeting, and one of my staff members came in and said, "Abby is here." And I only know one Abby in my whole life, mm-hmm. and it was the director of Planned Parenthood.
And so what goes through your mind and heart at that moment?
A lot of different things.
I mean, fear?
Fear. Did somebody do something at the clinic? Are we in trouble? What did I do? And then, the staff member said she's crying and she wants to leave. And immediately, I began getting worried for Abby, because knowing her, it didn't surprise me. I had seen some changes in Abby over the last year or so. I've seen her conscience bothering her, seen her interacting with volunteers on a very casual basis, which is a no-no for Planned Parenthood workers typically. And it didn't surprise me. It made me worried for her and thinking, if Abby is coming to us, she really did have a change of heart. She really did have a conversion. She's going to be passionate about that conversion because she's a passionate person. I knew that from being on the other side of the fence. And Planned Parenthood's going to come after her in some form or fashion, and I need to help her.
So she came into the office, and what happened?
Well, we were all sitting there, and we talked to her. She simply just started talking. She was crying. If you look at her, as I did when I walked into the room, she was sitting on our counseling couch, and she was sobbing, and you knew that this was genuine instantly. And I knew exactly what we were about to hear, which was something had happened. And I think that was the first question that I asked is, mm-hmm. what happened?
Abby, before you went over to Sean's ministry, you also witnessed some things at the clinic that concerned you. I think the economy had mm-hmm. Kind of plagued the clinic. They were down in their revenue, and a directive came out that they wanted to see more abortions done to raise the revenue. And that kind of shocked you. Is that fair?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. With the downturning economy, a lot of businesses were hurting financially, and Planned Parenthood was not excluded from that. And they would say, we really need to increase our abortions. Thank goodness for our abortion numbers. You know, just keep the abortions coming in. That's what's saving us.
So that added to your doubt about what the true motive was here. It wasn't maybe necessarily to help women. It was to generate revenue.
Yeah. Right. And I mean, if Planned Parenthood is ever in the media, you know, what do they always say? We're about prevention, prevention. But that's not what I was hearing from the higher ups.
Again, a contradiction.
Absolutely.
They need the revenue. Hmm. Abby, between the time that you saw the ultrasound, your change of heart, your tears that night, your thoughts of your three-year-old daughter, Grace, it took several weeks for you to come to the conclusion that you could leave. Tell us about that moment.
Yeah. I had decided when I went home that day, I told my husband, I don't want to work here anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. He was very supportive. He really was never on the Planned Parenthood bandwagon. So he was glad that I wanted to leave. And for some reason, I thought that I would be able to get a job in 2 weeks. I thought that was rational. And I thought, I've got 2 weeks until we're going to be doing surgical abortions again. So that was my timeline to get out and find another job. Things were pretty tense with my supervisor and I. I would question her about her motives for expanding abortion services.
For the first time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And she didn't like that. She didn't want me to question her. And so things were not very good. The relationship was not very good between my supervisor and I. And that just kind of confirmed, the doubts that I was already having. And so first week went by. It was pretty uneventful. A weekend came. Monday came. I felt like there was a clock ticking because I thought, okay, it's Monday and Saturday is going to be here. I still don't have a job. I don't have any interviews. I mean, I've got to get out of here. And I just thought, I was praying. I just thought, what am I going to do? Where am I going to go?
And what did you do?
I looked out the window and I saw two women praying outside of the facility. And it was just like God was shouting at me, go to them. And I thought, really? Okay. So,
not what you would have expected.
No.
Yeah. But you got up.
I got
and
up.
You went.
I got up and I went. And I got in my car. I could have walked there, but that would have looked a little suspicious. So I got in my car and I went over to their house. And I called them and, said, this is Abby with Planned Parenthood. I'm in your parking lot. do you have a back entrance? They put me on hold for a minute, I think, to catch their breath. And they said, yeah, come on in. And so I went in. And
Sean, that moment when you walked in, you mentioned it a moment ago, Abby's in crying. Here you're a man of faith. You've built this outreach to clinics doing abortion. What are you thinking of at that time? What were the words that you spoke that gave Abby hope?
Well, first, the words that came into my head were, with God, all things are possible. Mm-hmm. This mm-hmm. is happening right now. And so I need to have faith. This happens. And I remember asking her what happened. And as she was telling us the story and she was telling all the things that, led to her coming over to the house, I asked her, what now? What do you want to do? And I'll never forget her saying, I just want out. I want out. And it was a true conversion. It's not the way it always happens, especially in these circumstances with the clinic, a pro-life group right next to an abortion clinic that the director walks out and leaves. But it happens, and I think that we have to have the faith that it can happen. This is a basic story right out of the gospel, and we act so sophisticated when it comes to abortion that you have your opinion, I have mine, we don't need to talk about it, we're not going to change each other's minds, and that's all nonsense. This happens, and it happens because of a witness to truth, and truth always converts hearts.
Abby, you might be talking right now to somebody that is listening to Focus on the Family radio program right here. They may not know the Lord. They may know the Lord. And they're where you used to be, where you could justify abortion with your faith. Speak to that woman who is conflicted about that. What would you say to her if she was sitting right in front of you right now?
I would say that I've learned, you know, through all of this and through prayer and through Christ, that when something is right, it doesn't need to be justified. That when something is true, it doesn't have to be rationalized. And that's something that's very hard for us to come to terms with, because I think in our society, we want to justify what we want to be true. But it's that's so simple.
Mm-hmm.
And it may sound simple-minded, but that has really come into focus for me. And I try to think of a lot of different examples. You know, people are in adulterous relationships, and people, you know, cheat on their taxes and, you know, things like that. And they say, well, I'm doing it because this, this, and this. If something is wrong, we have to justify it. Abortion is wrong. And so we always have to find a justification for it.
The care of the woman.
That's right. And you can't go into an abortion facility and hear an abortionist, hear a clinic worker talk about the baby and the needs of the baby, because they can't. And they have basically said that if a woman finds herself in a crisis pregnancy, then the strong thing to do is to terminate that pregnancy, which is ridiculous to me. I mean, I'm a woman. I was made to be maternal. I was made to be a mother. And for me to say that I'm not strong enough to carry a pregnancy that was unplanned is offensive to me as a woman. But that's what Planned Parenthood would have you believe, that the strong decision is to have an abortion if you find yourself in the situation of a crisis pregnancy. Mm-hmm. I was talking to this guy, and he was talking about, this is a pro-life guy, and he was talking about how he thought it was acceptable to harass doctors in a community to the point where they would want to leave the community and open their abortion practice somewhere else. And I said, well, what's the point? It's not changing hearts and minds. It's not giving him that compassion so that he sees what he's doing is wrong.
You're just transferring
it's
the problem.
It's just transferring the problem. Mm-hmm.
Just
it's
moving
not
a woman
changing,
from one state to another.
That's right. It's not changing hearts and minds. It's not changing our culture of death into a culture of life.
It's important to have that motivation, but I do think creating a culture of life is far more important as the Christian community. Sean, do you see it that way? You're working in it.
Absolutely. And as Christians, we have to be first and foremost concerned about the woman who's considering an abortion today and who is scheduled to have that abortion tomorrow. And what can we do to give her practical solutions, but also be a witness at the most crucial moment in the life of her baby and the most crucial decision she'll ever make in her life? And that's why we go physically to pray in front of the most controversial place in their community. And God blesses that decision.
Abby, can I do something here? Mm-hmm. I asked for this earlier. I just want to read you a list of people who prayed specifically for you when you were directing the Planned Parenthood Clinic. Linda Henry, Dave and Mary Phillips, Doug and B. Williams, Dick and Malda Burns, Terry and Joanne Browning, Denise Doss, Wanda Wagner, Carl and Judy Hudson, James and Sandy Rackley, Pastor Doug Evans and his wife Becky, Mary Brannan, Maxine Galloway, Barry and Becky Phillips, Pastor Hurtless and his wife Frances, Deanne White, Doug and Angie Galloway, Steve and Carol. I mean, the list goes on and on. People praying for you. How does that make you feel?
Well, if you would have asked me when I worked at Planned Parenthood, I would have said, well, why are they praying for me? Because I'm doing a good thing. It's very humbling to know that these people had me in constant prayer. I mean, I know everybody that you just spoke of on the list, and I know that they did have me in daily prayer. I know that they were praying for my conversion away from abortion. And it's prayers from people like them. It's prayers from, you know, people with the coalition, you know, people all across the nation that are praying for clinic workers, praying for an end to abortion that ultimately creates these conversions. I think that, you know, it's important to remember to pray for clinic workers. You know, I think a lot of times when we go out to the abortion facilities, we really only focus on the women and their babies. You know, we want to, you know, portray these clinic workers as evil people and people that we want to hate, people that we want to make the enemy. You know, most of the people that work in this abortion industry are good people. And they're there, they're misguided.
Blinded.
Yeah.
They are blinded. The people in the clinics, do you know of other people working in the clinics that knew what was happening with you that quietly said to you, I feel similar? Or do you know of people that had the same concern about that contradiction?
Yeah, when I left, I talked to two people about why I was leaving, and they also told me that they wanted to leave as well. I came to them after I had talked with the coalition and that day on October 5th and had told them about my conversation and really just wanted to talk to them about it. Didn't expect them to also say, hey, I want out too. I just wanted to let them know. You know, they were friends of mine. I just wanted to kind of keep them in the loop and let them know that I was going to be leaving. And then I was very surprised to hear both of them say, you know, do you think they can help me as well? I would like to get out. And so I was very excited, and, you know, the coalition was trying to help them find another job as well.
Spiritually speaking, it's interesting that you use that language, getting out. I mean, it's as if they're trapped by what they see and what they're doing, the philosophy of what they're doing, but God is setting you and hopefully those others free from that trap of abortion.
They are trapped. You know, I don't think that people don't really, maybe they don't want to, but they don't really see clinic workers as victims, but they are victims. They are victims to the abortion industry. When people would mention wanting to leave the abortion industry or wanting to get another job, maybe a better paying job, you know, just wanting to get out. And I remember hearing and then saying myself, well, you know, you're going to have a hard time finding another job because you've worked in abortion.
Hmm. That it's a stigma, not a a resume builder.
Right.
Exactly.
And so that traps them there.
Yeah.
And they believe it.
Sean, I'm thinking of the New Testament. I'm thinking of the disciples walking along. What you're saying, Abby, sounds so much like Paul. He's appealing at Mars Hill to a culture that doesn't believe in God, doesn't know these things. And he's trying to reason with them to say, it's in your heart.
Right.
Know what's in your heart. And Abby, you have done a beautiful job of expressing that feeling of the heart, God tugging at your heart, you knowing it's wrong. Sean, fill in that blank as someone walking today, like an Apostle Paul. I know that may make you feel uncomfortable, but you're doing that. You're standing in this gap where people are literally not sane. They are killing our country's children, and you're trying to shake them into sanity. Help me understand that.
Our culture is dying, and abortion is the foundation of that process, and we have to go to where the abortions actually happen. We just can't say this is awful and it's evil, or we need to vote against it, or we need to do this. we have to look at the spiritual consequences of it and know that the solution is spiritual and that the grace will be sufficient, as Paul says, and go to where the pain is. And I think that if we go alone, we'll fall on our face. But if we go, if we take Christ out there, if we get out of his way, he will work miracles. And that was our attitude, is to almost a missionary attitude. It's the nature of the church to be missionaries. And when we go, he works miracles with the babies that are saved, with the clinic workers that leave, with the people that go out themselves and pray. This is an easy thing to do. And there are many other things you could be doing. But when we make a decision to face our culture where it is dying, we will win that battle because of Calvary.
And Sean, you don't do it with anger.
Right. We do it with joy, because joy softens the heart. And when we're praying, we are strengthened by that prayer. And when we go out there, and Abby saw it, we're not crazy people. We're not radical people. We're not religious zealots. We're just trying to be faithful. And when we go out there, we have the joy of Christ. We have the peace of Christ. Then his love and mercy can penetrate the walls of an abortion facility.
Abby, in Romans, the book of Romans 2:4, there's a verse I'd like you to react to. In there it says, "Do you have contempt for the kindness of God, not knowing that his kindness and his long-suffering leads one to repentance?" Do you feel that?
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree with that? Did kindness work mm-hmm. where anger and costumes on the sidewalk of the clinic and angry signs and angry attitude from the Christian community did not penetrate your heart? But kindness, as expressed from Sean and the group that would come and pray in those vigils for 40 days in the rain, in the sunshine, maybe even in the snow, that penetrated your heart.
I one thing that I always say is that I'm here now on this side because they were there. I'm here because compassion was there. I'm not here because they were yelling at me. I'm not here because they were condemning me. I wouldn't have felt comfortable to go to them if that would have been the case. Yes.
They built a bridge for you to come to their conclusion, which is God is real, God protects life.
Right. And if there is anger in your heart, then you don't belong on the sidewalk outside of an abortion facility, because there's enough anger on the inside to go around.
Wow. That is well said.
There does not need to be anger on that sidewalk. There only needs to be love and compassion and empathy for the workers and the women that are going in there, and the men.
And the knowledge of the truth.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
important. Abby Johnson and Sean Carney, what an uplifting story out of disaster and utter devastation rises something beautiful. Mm. And I want to just say thank you. I want to encourage listeners to call Focus on the Family if you need help, if you want to talk to a friend. It's what we're here for. And I want to say to both of you, thank you for your courage from both perspectives today. Abby, while you were there as a director of Planned Parenthood, Sean, as you were there praying in the 40-day vigil and had this surprise land right in your lobby. I mean, what a beautiful story of God's redemption. Thank you for sharing it.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jim.
Well, I'd think that every community would want to have a 40 Days for Life campaign. As Sean mentioned earlier in the conversation, those are peaceful prayer events, and they have seen tremendous results coming from those campaigns. You might recall the story of Gianna Jessen, who's been on this program before. She survived an abortion attempt and is a delightful young lady. Her story is now in book form called Gianna, and you can find that online or at a bookstore near you. Our program today was provided by Focus on the Family, and on behalf of Jim Daly and the entire broadcast team here, I'm John Fuller. Thanks for listening in. Be sure to be with us again next time when we'll once more turn our hearts toward home.